to the book of Luke, chapter 12. I want to expand a little bit on what we were talking about, what we were ministering this morning. In Luke chapter 12, verse 54 and verse 56, amen. And it's good to have Jackie here tonight. We're glad that you came with Sylvester and David. God bless you. Luke chapter 12 and verse 54. And he said also to the people, when you see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway you say there cometh a shower, and so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say there will be heat, and it cometh to pass. Ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that you do not discern this time? Amen. And I want to talk about discerning the time, discerning the time. Let's pray together. Let's ask for the help of the Lord tonight. Father, we thank you for the holy word of God. Anoint it with your holy presence tonight. Make us holy like you. Stir our hearts tonight that we may draw closer to you in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. We noticed over the course of the last few years that there have been some devastating hurricanes that have taken place. One of our good friends down in Aransas Pass, Texas, the church there was totally destroyed, and they had to tear the entire building down because of the hurricane. And they are about a week or so away from opening up their daycare in the brand new building. We're excited about that. For them. I told Brother Riley the other day, we're proud of what they're doing down there, and it's very exciting. Amen. And but they knew ahead of time. There were many, many, many that knew ahead of time. In fact, if you go to Texas, which is laid out a lot differently than it is here in some ways, they have the two-lane highways, and then off to the side, they have another highway that is two lanes going either direction. And that is for evacuation. That is so that when there is a hurricane, they stop all north and south traffic, and it's all north. You can't go in the southern lane anymore. It's all in a northerly direction. Because they can discern the weather. They know that certain things are coming, and the weatherman, I'm not going to get off onto weathermen here, but you know, the old saying is they go to college and they get out and they get a job and they make all these mistakes, but they still keep their job. Amen. Well, y'all can smile just a little bit. It'll be all right. Amen. And but there are some times, when the Oklahoma City tornado came through and almost went right through the downtown area of New York City. Some 1 mile wide, there was a broadcast that they were broadcasting. This is a grave emergency. You need to leave the area, or you need to find shelter immediately. There is a major tornado that is coming through this area. There were lives that were lost, and maybe because they didn't listen to the weatherman, maybe they didn't have the proper shelter laid up in store ahead of time. Amen. But there is something said for those that survived because they planned ahead and they knew that they live in an area where there's going to be trouble from time to time. And so they plan for it. They prepare for it. And they're constantly looking in the radar screen and constantly checking the temperatures and the humidity and the movement of the jet stream and the movement of all of the different forces that are coming to play so that they can get the best of accurate forecast that they can make. Amen. We should be the same way when it comes to prophecy, and we should be able to discern the times that we are living in today. It is so easy to just let things slide in your mind and not really consider where we are and what is going on in the time frame of which we are living here tonight. Amen. And it saves a lot of lives when the weatherman does his job and lets us to know. You know, they tell you it's going to be 6 inches of snow, and then it's only going to be 1 inch. But, you know, I'm glad that they're saying 6 inches in a way, because I don't want to be caught off guard. I'd rather go a little bit further one way in caution and all of that than to throw caution to the wind. And when the troubles come, we are not prepared for it. Amen. They were not prepared for the hurricane that hit New Orleans, Louisiana. They had planned to raise the dike levels up, and they didn't do it. And the weather came and overcome the dikes. And the city of New Orleans, there were churches, some of our churches in that area, that were decimated by that hurricane, and many, many people were displaced because of it. It was a terrible situation. There was an escape route that was planned. There were plenty of school buses, several hundred school buses, that were available to go and get people and to bring them out of that city. But the truth of it is, someone had not prepared ahead of time, and when it was all said and done, the people were not evacuated, and the buses were sitting under deep water. Amen. And it is really a picture. It's really a picture, I believe, tonight of the weather pattern in the realm of the Spirit in which we are living today. We are living in a time and a generation today that is going headlong into the judgments of God. We are living in a world that is a godless world. Oh, I know there are revivals that are taking place in many places, and I thank God for that, and I know you thank God for that. Amen. We have had a measure of revival here in this city as well, and we thank God for that measure of revival. Praise the Lord. Because people who were not saved, Brother Reed was talking about it earlier, that when he came to God, God was merciful. God has been merciful to me. Amen. God has been merciful to you. Praise the Lord. You're here because of the mercy and the grace of God. You're here because your parents found the Lord and brought you to the house of God. You're here tonight because somebody told you the truth, or someone taught you a Bible study and introduced you to the Word of God and the will of God for all of us. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, we're here because the Lord has put us here, and He did not put us here to park us on a pew. Amen. I just feel something in my spirit. I've been feeling it for quite a while. Amen. I need to draw close to God. I need to draw closer to God than I have been in the past. Amen. I need to pray more. I need to seek His face more. Amen. I need to get my nose in the book more. Amen. And I've been attempting to do that, and I'm going to continue to do that. Praise God, because there is something stirring in my heart. The Lord is coming very soon. And I feel like I'm discerning something that is happening around us. A rising of evil, as Winston Churchill said, the gathering storm. Amen. There is a gathering storm that is taking place in our world. Oh, we think if we get it all figured out economically, everything's going to be all right. But economics doesn't have anything to do with this. We think that if we can figure it out politically, everything will be all right. But I'm telling you, politics has nothing to do with this. Amen. This is the work of God. This is the move of God. This is the prophecies of the Scripture that are being fulfilled right before our very eyes. Amen. We have seen, and I've mentioned this earlier, I won't spend a lot of time on these things. I've mentioned them before, but they stir my heart. They stir me deeply in my spirit when I hear that they are passing laws now, that a baby can be born laying on the table, disconnected from its mother, a healthy child, and the doctor and the mother can make a decision, and they can literally kill that child while it is laying there. I don't know about you, but that disturbs me deeply in my spirit. Amen. It really does. It gives us the understanding that there is a rising of a culture of death upon the land. Amen. And we know who has the concept of death in his heart, and that's the devil. Amen. He is a destroyer. He is the one that steals and kills and destroys. But Jesus said, I am come that they might have life. Amen. I believe in life tonight. I believe that every one of us have the right to have a life because God made us, and there is no one that can take that away but God. Well, praise the Lord. That's why murder is so wrong. That's why theft is so wrong. Amen. Because you are literally taking someone's life away from them that God granted to them. And it's morally wrong. Amen. That's why theft is so wrong. Because you are literally stealing part of an individual's life when you steal something from them. Amen. They worked for that. They labored for that. They received that because of a portion of their life that they invested in that. And that's why we have the commandments, the moral commandments in the Word of God. Some say that the Old Testament is done away with. Much of it has been passed away. But there is a good part of the Old Testament. It is not the civil commandments, but it is the moral commandments of God. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Amen. And all the other commandments that we find in the Word of God. Praise the Lord. And so what we have here tonight is an opportunity. We have an opportunity to look around us and to see what is going on. There's another place in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 2 where Jesus brought the very same thing up. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 2, it says, He answered and said unto them, When it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. Oh, ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. Amen. They were so caught up in the things of this world, and these were the hypocrites. These were the religious people. They were so caught up in the everyday fashion of their religion, and it was given to them by God, but it was given to them by God so that it would draw them close to the heart of God. Amen. It wasn't given to them so that it would drive them away or that it would become a program. And the last thing that we can afford to do as a church is to get into the cycle of a program. Amen. Come on, somebody, help me tonight. Well, praise the Lord. We cannot get into a program of worship, a program of preaching, a program of those kinds of things. Amen. Because we must be people who are discerning. I believe when we come to the house of God, we need to seek after the will of God for that service. I believe that we need to try to discern the mind of God for that gathering together. He said, where two or three are gathered together, I'm in the midst of them. And He's here for a purpose. He's here for a reason. Amen. There is a will of God for this service here tonight. And I wonder, have we really sought after the will of God? Or is it just a time to come together to receive? Oh, there's times for that. But friend, I'm telling you, we've got to come to a place of maturity where we can discern the will of God. Amen. Discern the will of God in the morning for Monday. Amen. Discern the will of God for Tuesday and Wednesday. Oh, praise God, because the will of God is a very important part of living for God. It's not just having scriptures. It's not just hearing preaching. It's not just coming to the house of God. Amen. But what we must be is people of discernment. We must be able to discern the times. Amen. What we need to do is see that the signs of the times are everywhere. Very simple scriptures, Luke chapter 21 and verse 11. And Jesus talked about the end times. Luke chapter 21 is the chapter of prophecy in the book of Luke. If you go to Matthew 24, it is the prophecy chapter in the book of Matthew, actually 24 and 25. And Luke 21 and verse 11, "And great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven." Amen. I don't think he told us this so that we could get into studying about earthquakes. I don't think that he did this so that we could study about the cause of famines, or that we could necessarily study the causes of pestilences or fearful sights and great signs. Amen. Signs in the cosmos. Signs in the sun and in the moon. I don't think he said that so that we could become the people that look through telescopes, or the scientists that try to find out how the universe came into existence and all of those things. But I think it's much simpler than that, and much more profound than that. I think what we need to do is look around us and see that there are things that are happening on this planet Earth. Amen. And you say, well, it's always happened, not in this generation. Amen. They have begun to test, well, what do they call that? Not a Geiger counter, the thing that checks for earthquakes. Seismograph, I think, is what they call it, and it measures the trembling of the earth. And they began, after that was discovered and somebody did that, made that invention, they began to record earthquakes on the earth. They began to record the number of earthquakes, the intensity of the earthquakes. And from the time that they began to measure earthquakes, there has been a dramatic increase in the number of earthquakes, and not only the number of the earthquakes, but the intensity of the earthquakes. You say, well, that's just a coincidence. Jesus said there will be great earthquakes on the earth. The earth is discerning what is happening in our time. Amen. There is iniquity that is upon the earth that is causing it to be very heavy, the scripture says. And that heaviness upon the earth is causing a physical movement in this earth. Amen. And you can say, well, it's just another earthquake. I've read about those before. I've looked at that before. But I'm telling you, we need to go further than that. We need to be people that are discerning the times. Amen. We need to be able to discern what is taking place around us according to the scriptures. If you go to verse 25 of chapter 21, it says, "And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring." And we could read the whole chapter. I'm not going to take the time for that tonight. You can do that when you get home. But there will be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. He said the moon shall be turned to blood. He said the sun shall be darkened. It wasn't just too long ago that the blood moons came one year and then another year. And they were directly on the day of Passover. And you say, well, Pastor, you're getting deep into things that you don't know about. And you're absolutely right. I don't know about all of these things. But I do know that Jesus said the moon would be turned to blood. And he did say that the sun would be darkened. And there was a blood moon. There was a complete eclipse of the sun. And then another blood moon right after that on the Feast of Passover, I believe it is, or the Feast of Tabernacles, one of the two. And so you could say, you could just pass it off and say, well, historically they say this has happened before, so on and so forth. But what we've got to do is go beyond the scientific proof, because the Bible says that we should be careful of that which is called science. Amen. Falsely called science. There's a lot of stuff that's called science that is right, and there's a lot of stuff that's called science that is wrong. Amen. And we have to be able to discern between the two. The science that says we evolved from a one-cell organism is false science. Amen. The Bible says God created the heavens and the earth. God put all of the forces of nature, he put all of the laws of physics, and put them in a way that would be perfect for life to exist in this universe. Amen. But they hold to that because there is much of science today, not all of it, but there is much of science today that does not believe that there is a God, and they do not worship God. They do not believe that there is the existence of a God, that everything is in nature. Nature is God. Amen. Well, I'm telling you, I don't put my hope in a tree. I'm not putting my hope in a tomato. I'm not putting my hope in a rock. Amen. I'm putting my hope in something that is real, and that is the Word of God tonight. Praise the Lord. They have done recent studies. I'm not going to get off onto this, but it interests me. I hope it interests you a little bit. I don't want to become boring. But they have done research into the cell, one single cell, and they have been begun to dissect it and look at it from a very, very small, from electron microscopes that go all the way down to atomic levels. And they have discovered that the thing that causes the cell to work, there are literally motors with actuators. Amen. Where the motor is spinning and it's causing different things to happen. There are pumps that pump water through that cell. There are all kinds of things that are taking place in one cell in your body. And every cell in your body has a complete DNA programming, computer program. Amen. That is very, very similar to the computer programs that we use and that we have discovered. Amen. We only discovered what God already put in place. Amen. And the odds of that taking place by random chance, the scientists say, given enough time, anything can happen. Yeah, right. Amen. Just take a bunch of Scrabble words on a table, just a small pile of Scrabble letters, and begin to mix them up and lay them out in any order. And that's like saying we're going to write Windows 10. Amen. We're going to be able to get the code of Windows 10 out of a random piling it up, spreading it out, and eventually we're going to have the most perfect computer program that's ever been written. Amen. It's a fool's errand. It is the fool's thoughts, amen, that there is no God. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. But tonight I declare to you, there is a God, and he has given us his word, and his word is perfect, praise the Lord, and he told us he is coming. When we see the signs of the weather, we prepare ourselves for what is coming. We do. When they say it's going to rain, we take an umbrella with us. Anybody do that? Well, praise the Lord. Y'all are really, really excited here tonight. I just pray it'll pour down rain on us here after church is over with, just as an example to us. When they say, get inside, there's lightning that's hitting the earth. You know what we do? We get inside. At least I do. Amen. They tell you not to get near windows and different things like that. And, you know, we may or we may not do that. But I'll tell you what, when I'm outside, I'm a little taller than most folks. And that makes me a little more of a lightning rod. Amen. And I see people with their umbrellas, that metal rod going up, and they're holding it in the weather, and lightning is striking. You might as well just hold it up and say, go ahead and kill me. Amen. Not being able to discern a whole lot about what's going on right now at this point in time. Amen. I don't want to become a lightning rod. I don't want to become a light bulb. Amen. Or as they say down south, a light bulb. Praise God. Whichever the way it is, I don't want to be lit up by lightning. No, no. I went out to Santa Fe Lake and was just driving around, my wife and I, and I saw some of those huge trees that were blown over. And I've seen trees with branches that are about that big around, maybe even bigger. And the inside or the outside of it is completely stripped off. No bark on that tree whatsoever, and the middle and the center of that tree is burnt black, and the black comes out the bottom of a hole. And I thought, dear God, why in the world would anybody want to come out here and go camping? Amen. Why would anybody want to put themselves at risk like this? Oh, God, help us. I wish we would have known, but there was one time, some of you would remember this, we had a camp out, amen, at El Dorado Lake. Anybody remember the camp out at El Dorado Lake? There's a few of the old ones here, amen. And we didn't check the weather, but we got everything set up. I had a 30-foot pull-behind camper, and we had it set up on blocks and everything. We were going to have a good time. Pup tents out on the ground, and some had bigger tents, and we're just getting set up, and all of a sudden we looked on the other side of the lake. We didn't realize that that lake produces a lot of storms anyway, probably because of the water that goes up there in the air, and looked across the lake, and I said, this does not look very good. And as it got closer, it seemed to get faster and more intense. And all of a sudden, it hit us with a vengeance. And pup tents went everywhere. Everything collapsed. And I said, get in the trailer, hurry. And we got in the trailer. Everybody piled in. There was probably 15 or 20 or 30 people in that trailer. And I said, stand on this side, because it was going to blow the trailer over, literally. And it lifted the trailer up, and the little orange blocks that was underneath the legs blew away. Amen. I thought, dear God, if they were not here, we'd be somewhere down the road upside down. And that happened to us because we weren't checking the weather. Amen. Some crazy things happen. Praise God. Maybe you've been in that kind of a situation before. Amen. Where you didn't check to see what was going on. I remember we went out on I-70. You can get into some really, really bad weather on I-70. And we're traveling to Colorado Springs, and it was just the time of year. I didn't check it out ahead of time, as usual. You know us guys, we don't need a map. We don't need to check it. We'll make it all right. I got it figured out. Don't worry, I got you covered. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. We're driving out there, and just so happened it was the time of year that all the tumbleweeds broke loose. And we came through a section of I-70, and you would not believe the number of tumbleweeds that were blowing across that road. Some of them with sticks that were that big around, and they're blowing probably 40 or 50 miles an hour straight across the road. And we're traveling down there, and a big old tumbleweed hit the side of the car. I thought, dear God, where in the world have I put myself? and then another and another and another. It scratched up the car. It probably put dents in the side of the car. And I thought, my. Well, we'll make it. It's all right. Everything's going to be all right. Praise God. Got out there one time and we got into an ice storm. Again, didn't check the weather. And the ice storm was quite bad. It put ice about that big around on the antenna of the car. And everybody was in the ditch. Of course, I knew we couldn't stop because it was going to be days before that ice was going to be gone. So I went over onto the shoulder where it was a little bit rougher. And we traveled until we finally got out of that ice. All because somebody didn't check the weather. Amen. But the weather is going on all around us. And prophecy is taking place all around us. What we've got to do is get out our spiritual iPhone and check in with the book. Amen. And say, what is it going to be like today? Lord, what's happening today? I can't see beyond the horizon. I don't know what's taking place in this world, but your good book shows me what is taking place, what is about to happen upon this earth. Amen. Praise the Lord. Mark 13 and verse 22, for false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders, to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. False prophets. The spirit of Antichrist, which even the apostles said was already in the world. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. Amen. I want to ask us tonight, can you tell the difference between a false prophet and a real prophet? Amen. Well, I know who's a prophet. He's the TV evangelist. It's really interesting when I watch that. Well, I'm telling you, just call the TV evangelist and ask him to come to your house and pray for you when you're sick. See if he comes in his jet airplane. Praise God. I guarantee you he won't even get your prayer request. And they are false prophets. Did you hear that tonight? They are false prophets. And John talked about this in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Don't just take everything hook, line, and sinker. Don't believe everything you hear, because deception can come from people. Amen. Deception can come from false prophets. Amen. They can come from many, many different places. He said, believe not every spirit. It's good to have a healthy dose of skepticism. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, praise the Lord, somebody. Amen. Had a prophet show up here one time, actually a couple of different times. And him and his wife lived in Tulsa, I believe it is. And they came up here on Sunday morning and came to church. And when we had the altar call, all they wanted to do was pray for the young girls. Brother Charlie remembers that. And we said, no, we're not going to do that here. Amen. We don't know who you are. We don't want you laying your hands on our young girls or the young boys for that matter. Amen. Because when you lay hands on someone, there is a transfer of a spirit that takes place. Well, praise the Lord, somebody. Amen. Had a prophet come one time and smoking her cigarettes and all of that, told me she had the gift of healing. And I said, ma'am, you don't have the gift of healing, and you're not a prophet. Yes, I'm a prophet. No, you're not. She said, how do you know that I'm not a prophet? I said, prophets don't smoke cigarettes. Amen. Now, I'm sorry if that offends you tonight, but I'm telling you the truth. Amen. We cannot believe every spirit. I don't want everybody doing this, that, and the other. We're not going to suppress the move of the Holy Ghost. But when the real Holy Ghost move, it's going to move in apostolics that believe that there's only one God. You can tell a false prophet and just simply ask him, how do I get saved? Can I have some liberty here tonight? I think I need a little bit of liberty here tonight. Ask that prophet. Ask that preacher. Ask that individual who has the gift of healing. What is the plan of salvation? That's pretty simple, isn't it? That's pretty simple. If they don't know how to get saved, how can they be a prophet? How can they be a spiritual leader if they don't know how to get saved? And if they tell you, accept the Lord as your personal Savior, oh God, somebody back me up here tonight. They're a false prophet. They're a false prophet because they asked the apostles, they asked Peter, and they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? He never said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. By the way, that's in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Amen. It's right here in the good book. Praise God. It's not in somebody's theological book. It's not in a catechism or whatever you want to call it. Amen. I'm telling you, it's in the Word of God tonight. You've got to repent if you're going to go to heaven. That's really believing on the Lord Jesus Christ right there. You must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Praise God. Well, how am I supposed to be baptized? I got baptized in the titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. False prophet. God help me here. I need some backup here tonight. I need somebody to help me just a little bit. I don't know everybody's situation here tonight, but there is not one person in the Bible anywhere that was ever baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Not one place. But I can tell you and take you to a number of places where when they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ exclusively. History records that the early church baptized exclusively in the name of Jesus Christ because it is the name of Jesus, the one that went to Calvary, that will remit our sins and wash our sins away. What does that mean, preacher? That simply means that if you have not been baptized in Jesus' name, you still have your sins upon you. I'm not trying to be offensive here tonight. This is not even in my notes, but I'm telling you, I feel it deep in my heart. I'm telling you tonight, we've got to be people that are able to discern. Amen. I'm not just going to go and say, well, that church building looks nice. That's where I'm going to go. You can't just say, well, I like the toothy grin that the preacher has. That's where I'm going. He's got some cute things to say. Why, I really love the props on the platform. They've got a bowling alley. They've got a daycare. They've got all of these things. That's why I'm going there. Hey, listen, you need to go where truth is preached. You need to go where there is a true prophet and a true man of God that will preach without fear or favor. Thus saith the Lord. Oh, wished I could run and shout tonight. But I'm telling you what, we've got to be people that discern the times. We've got to know where we come from. We got to know where we are. And we've got to know where we're going. Praise God. Give me a healthy dose of skepticism. Oh, praise God, praise God, praise God. Praise God. Try, he said, believe not every spirit. But try the spirits, whether they are of God. For many because many false prophets are gone out into the world. You got to try this thing. How do you test the spirits? Are you of God? Yes. Oh, it must be of God. I remember many, many years ago, one of the preachers of our fellowship was in prayer, and he was reading the Book of Mormon so he could understand how to witness to them and understand where they are coming from. And their religion is based upon a man who supposedly found golden plates that nobody's ever seen underneath a tree, and he wrote the Book of Mormon, which has the everlasting gospel in it, but it doesn't have the gospel that this book has in it. And this preacher was praying and fasting and seeking the Lord, and all of a sudden an angel appeared to him. And the angel said, "I am Moroni. Read this book." Moroni means, that's the angel. Moroni is the head angel in their religion. I'm not going to go into it here tonight, and I'm not slamming Mormons. Please don't misunderstand me. But there is something to say about a true prophet and a false prophet. Right. Amen. And he said, "I am the angel of Moroni. Read this book." And the preacher said, "I rebuke you in Jesus' name." And he left. He left. I'm telling you what, we've got to be able to discern where we are right now. Paul said in Galatians, he said, "Though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel than what we have preached unto you." See there, the devil's jumping down my throat right now. "If any man preach any other gospel than what we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." That's in the Word of God. Listen, we can't play church. You can't play Christian. Amen. It's not a matter of putting a sign on you, "I'm a Christian." That's not what's going to make you a Christian. We got to get the real goods. Amen. We've got to get the real thing. Praise God. Leviticus chapter 10 and verse 9. This is kind of turning off into a direction I had not planned on, but I just feel this right now. Leviticus 10 and verse 9. "Do not drink wine nor strong drink." That's pretty simple, isn't it? Do not drink wine nor strong drink. How is it that we have come to a place today where religion has become so sloppy? I'm not in a bad mood. Don't misunderstand me here. I'm in a good mood tonight. Praise God. But I just feel constrained in my spirit. Amen. You've got to know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Not a preacher, not a church building, not a program, but it will be the truth of God's Word that will set you free. Do not drink wine. What does it say? Do not drink wine nor strong drink. Amen. You say, "Well, Jesus made the water into wine." I've got a book I'll give you tonight if you would like to have it. I've got about 400 copies of it that I made myself. It is written by a man that discovered in the Word of God that there are two wines in the Word of God. One is grape juice and different kinds of grape juice that will cheer your heart. And then there is the kind that moveth by itself, that will cause you to become drunk, that will cause you to ingest into your body alcohol, which is a putrefying agent that corrupts and destroys. But somehow or another, some false prophets came along and said, "It's all right to drink your beer. It's all right to drink your whiskey. It's all right to have a little bit here and there." Amen. Somebody said, "Well, it's in NyQuil." Come on, let's get serious about this. Amen. I'm not going to get addicted to NyQuil. I'm not going to Walmart and buying a case of NyQuil and having it before I get up to preach on Sunday night. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, the Bible tells us we've got to try the spirits. Praise God. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 6. You can write these down if you'd like. I'll give them to you after service tonight. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 6. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. You know what that word sober means there? That means free from alcohol. That's really what it means. We call a person sober when they're under the legal limit. The Bible says that we are sober when we have zero content of alcohol in our blood. How can I be spiritual and have the influence of something that is not spiritual? Amen. The only way that I can be spiritual and have a discerning heart and a discerning spirit and a discerning mind is I've got to be free. Can I go a little bit further here tonight? I'll let you look at my notes. None of this is in my notes, all right? But I'm telling you what, we can become intoxicated upon the internet. We can become intoxicated upon video games. We can become intoxicated upon this, that, and the other. And the times are around us and saying Jesus is coming, but we don't even know that because we're so involved in having playtime. I know it's getting tight right now, but I'm telling you, you need to consider what the pastor is preaching. I'm not preaching against video games. I'm not preaching against the internet. I'm not preaching against these things. But folks, there is something more important than these things. Amen. When the largest video game company that has produced a video game called Fortnite, I don't know anything about it, but it has 500 million subscribers. 500 million. That's more than all the people in America put together. That's about half or maybe a little under half of the people of China. Amen. And you can play it or you can watch someone that is playing it. And it is just a time-consuming situation. I think it's very interesting that recently the Chinese government put a complete block upon all video game makers. Amen. You cannot publish a video game until we approve it. And somebody said, why are you doing that? They said, because we believe it is corrupting the minds of our young people. This is the Chinese government that is atheist, that does not believe in God. But they've got enough discerning in their mind to know that if we get involved in this too much and it has a theme to it that is not good for our society, we're going to ban it. Amen. Mom and Dad, there's some things you need to ban. Amen. I don't believe that our young children or our young people, for that matter, ought to have unlimited access to the internet on their phones. Come on now. No parent has talked to me about anything, but I'm telling you what, you get yourself on there, there's going to be all kinds of things that'll pop up, and the devil will say, look at that, why don't you feast on that for a little while? Oh, I'll tell you what, we got to not discover things on the internet, but we need to learn to discover things in the Word of God. Let me have that Bible right there. Right here is revelation. Right here is discernment. Right here is wisdom. Keep on studying the Word of God. Abby, you're an inspiration to all of us. God's going to use that young lady. I'm telling you what, God's going to use that young lady. Amen. And God's going to use some other people here tonight because you've got discernment. The time is short. Amen. I've got to redeem my time. I've got to do the best with what I've got with the time allotted to me. Oh, Lord, help us tonight, Jesus. God's good, isn't He? God's so good that He said, I'm going to give you some signs. God's so merciful and so, He wants to reveal it to us so much that He gives us signs. It's like going down the road and the sign says, Oh, Lord, I'm just going to get myself in trouble here tonight, but we went to Colorado Springs, and there's somebody here tonight that was always telling the pastor how many more miles we got to go. I won't tell you who it was. The next town is such and such, and it's 10 miles. Yeah, I just saw the sign. Thank you. It's 59 degrees outside. Thank you very much. All the way to Colorado Springs, all the way back. I love you, Chris. Amen. He was telling me all the way there, and it was getting on my nerves by the time we got to Colorado Springs. But I'm glad somebody was paying attention. Glad for that aspect of it. Somebody was paying attention. Amen. You get out there somewhere. I remember going back to Massachusetts, and we were going through Pennsylvania, and this sign says detour. And I made the mistake of getting off the highway. And I made another turn. This was way before internet. We didn't have any cell phones or anything. All I had was a map. And you know what? You can navigate with a map. You can do that. Amen. A map is a little like a magazine, for those of you that don't know what a map is. And it's got all the states and where the roads go and all of those kinds. It'll tell you where to go. Amen. It won't tell you if there's traffic jam ahead. It won't tell you, you know, you can't talk to it and ask it what you need to do next and all of that. But we're following this map, and we got out in the middle of nowhere. No road signs. I didn't know what the name of the road was. I didn't know how to get back to where I was originally. And the Lord helped us. Amen. The Lord helped us. We got back on the highway. I remember we was in the state of Maryland, went and visited my pastor's son, Nathan, and had dinner with them. And on the way back, all of a sudden, I realized I have no cell phone coverage. This is on the East Coast. I thought, this is weird. No cell phone coverage whatsoever. And so my GPS doesn't work anymore. What do we do without GPS? And I didn't have a map. You know, one of those things that looks like a magazine and it gives you all the states and where the roads go. I didn't have one of those. Amen. But I had discernment. I knew that I was south of where I was supposed to be. But there was no sign along the road that said, you are going north, or you are going south, or east, or west. I had to rely on my powers of discernment. And so what I did was I looked up, and I wanted to see where the sun was. And the sun was going off in a particular direction. And I said to myself, if the sun is right there, then this direction must be north. And so I directed myself until I got cell phone coverage, and I got cell phone coverage about 60 miles from the hotel, and I was exactly where I needed to be because I was going in the right direction. Praise the Lord. Folks, we've got to have discernment. I can't be leaning on the things of this world to get me to heaven. I can't lean on the things of this world to give me wisdom and understanding only. Amen. There's got to be a higher power. We got to lift up our heads and look upward. Because we're going to see the sun shining and we'll know where we are. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And I'm going to finish with this. If you would like to come, Sister Reed, I would appreciate that tonight. Because I want to pray. I want to pray that the Lord puts the word into our minds and our hearts. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. Amen. That word ignorant is not a put-down word. It's a word that states a fact. I don't want you to be without understanding, is what he's saying. I don't want you to just be kind of going through life, like I've said many times, tiptoeing through the tulips. Praise God. Some of you are old enough to know what I'm talking about. Maybe you're not. All the older ones are gone tonight. There used to be a guy with kinky hair all down, white guy, and he had a little ukulele, and he'd play his little ukulele, and he would sing a song. Anybody remember who that was? Pardon me?
Tiny Tim.
Tiny Tim. See, there are some folks here. Tiny Tim. Tiptoe through the tulips, through the tulips, by the window. Not bad. Wished I'd make as much money as he did. Tiptoe through the tulips. You know what? There's a lot of people that are going through life like that. I'm just going to tiptoe through the tulips. Oh, Jesus is coming. Oh, wonderful. Judgment's coming upon our world. Groovy, man. Sounds wonderful. I'm just going to make a right-hand turn here. Do you know where you are? Well, no, but you know what? Everything's good. Everything's going to be all right. You're fooling yourself. You're fooling yourself. Amen. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Where are those that have died? Where are they? That you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. If we don't have God, we don't have hope. But I would not, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, do we believe that tonight? Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. That's where it comes back to, folks, is the word of the Lord. That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself, everybody said the Lord himself. Amen. Somebody say his own self. Amen. The Lord's coming, his own self, and shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Oh, wonderful. Hey, let me play you this tune on my ukulele. I figured out a new song. No, we got to be listening for the trumpet to sound. Then we which are alive and remain. This is who I'm preaching to tonight. Amen. Maybe I'm preaching to some that are dead in Christ. I don't know. But I'm preaching to all of us here tonight that are alive physically. But are you alive spiritually? Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen. To some it will be a comfort, and to others it will be a nightmare. Jesus is coming. Can we stand together tonight? Can we stand together tonight? Jesus is coming. Amen. There's nothing that I've preached that I don't believe I can back up with the Word of God. It's all right there in the book. If you have any questions about what I preached, I have not preached tonight to offend anybody. But I preach to you tonight out of a heart of love and compassion and desire that we will all make it in the rapture when Jesus comes. There are some, yes, even those that believe in Jesus, that say they believe in Jesus, that says there's not any rapture anymore. There's no rapture that takes place. There are others that say, well, the resurrection is an ongoing thing. But what we just read to you says we're all going together as a group in a one-time event. Not over the course of time, and it didn't happen 70 years ago, or in 70 AD. It did not happen in 70 AD. Amen. It has not happened yet. but the signs of the times are everywhere. We used to sing that song years ago, the signs of the times are everywhere. There's a new feeling in the air. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Somebody said it with me. Jesus is coming. He's coming. I've got to be ready. I've got to be ready when he comes. Nothing else is more important than being ready for when the bridegroom comes to take his bride to be with him. Let's pray together right now, can we?